Hey guys, I'm Demora.
And I'm Danielle.
And welcome back to another episode of Tea with Double D.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, today's been a day. I feel like we say that every single episode, but it is a better day because it's like the start of a new week.
Yes, exactly. It's a, you know, yeah, let's start.
Yeah, so like the tea that we're starting today
with is Tea Forte tea.
Yeah.
A company called Tea Forte, and it's their Harvest Apple Spice, which is part of their Warming Joy collection.
Yeah.
So it's an orchard ripe fruit, so apple.
Yeah.
And berries that is infused with warm baking spices, and it's delicious. It kind of, it smells like apple cider.
A little, but like it makes me happy. I don't know
why.
Oh
my God, that's amazing.
You haven't tasted it yet and you gave it to me.
I was getting to it. Then you said it tastes good and I was like, oh my God, it's so good. It's delicious. So if you guys ever want to try it, just yes.
It's like if you put apple pie in a cup. I'm not big on a fruit. I'm not a fruit pie person.
Me neither.
But like when you put apples and happiness in a cup.
Yeah.
And you just want to like kind of make someone warm.
Wow.
That's how I feel about the Starbucks peach passion tea. Every time I order it, I just feel like at Zen. So I don't know. And it makes me feel fancy. The tea bag itself has like this wire that has a little leaf at the end that hooks onto the mug.
Yeah.
So that's different.
Perfect. It's amazing.
But other than that, I got a little into my tea today. But our topic today, we're actually going to be talking about not being a mind reader. So basically how to avoid disconnect and miscommunication and kind of just have your needs and wants met.
Yes.
And I think that disconnect always starts with having that idea of a prince charming, princess charming, or like the what you think the person will just be based off your expectations.
And definitely you get misguided by that because people are people and
they're human and flawed.
There's going to be things about them that you don't like, and that's where kind of communication comes in to communicate what you actually want versus what you know that you want, but the other person doesn't necessarily know that because they're hence not a mind reader.
Yeah, and I feel like that idea of like, you know, that person's just because they ticked off a couple boxes that they're gonna tick off everything.
Yes.
So now we have put them on a pedestal.
Yes.
And like the minute you put someone on a pedestal, it's like you are opening the door for disappointment.
Yes, for sure.
And it's not that you can't have expectations of them, but holding them so strongly to those expectations, you're opening the realm for disappointment.
You are. 100%. You are, because then there's no room for them to kind of mess up. And it's like, at that point when you're disappointed, things can kind of change and your mind can go other places and their mind can go other places and they feel that off of you.
Yeah.
You know, your kind of demeanor changes almost, rather than a conversation could have dealt with all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not an easy conversation to have. I'm not saying that either. I'm really not, because I know personally I have trouble communicating what I want from somebody because I feel like I'm asking for too much, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And that's another thing you need to realize. You're not asking for too much. You're asking for your bare necessities that you need, depending on this type of expectation and situation it is. You know what I mean? If you're demanding that they must have dimples, they're not going to punch, you know, holes into their face. So
I've done it. I have a dimple on my right cheek. No, this is an accident though. Not because somebody told me to do it. No, I have a dimple on my right cheek that is caused because it's just like my muscles there are ruined from one time when I was a kid. I used to bounce on those exercise balls.
Yeah.
You know those things your parents tell you not to do?
Yes.
I went and I was bouncing on the exercise ball on top of my bed and I lost my footing.
Oh, I wonder why.
And you know, the dizzle, like that's all they can think of. And I was bouncing and I fell and knocked my cheek on the side of my table and now I have a permanent dimple on my right cheek.
Yeah, because a dimple is literally just a loss of tissue in a certain area.
It's like
it's a defect.
It's a sexy deformity.
Yes.
That's how I would explain it.
That's adorable.
But no, don't advise anyone to do
Please
that.
Please don't smash your face into things just to give yourself dimples.
But like just the very reality of not the person not being able to change something. Maybe they could change like weight or something like that. But like certain physicalities,
you can't.
Unrealistic.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have expectations that you know you want from somebody that'll make you happy, as a person and personality wise, like that you need from somebody, then sometimes a little bit of a communication can help. It's not that you're going to try and change the person's personality. Yeah. It's just more so giving advice on how to love you.
Yeah. But it can't just be communication. It has to be comprehension as
That's true. That is very true.
You know what I mean? Like, you can communicate all you want, because I've seen people who communicate themselves both, but the message never passes either's mind.
That's true. Like, going one ear out the other.
And I've always felt like being able to communicate, you can do it with anybody. Mm-hmm. You just have to put it into words that they can understand.
Yes.
Like, you kind of have to take yourself out of that perspective and be like, oh, well, it makes sense to me. Yeah, it may make sense to you, but there's a reason why they don't understand it.
That is very true.
So, like, you know, communication, yeah, you want to exchange your information, tell them how you feel. You should.
Yes.
But if you want it to actually benefit, or like if the person doesn't think like you, you have to work on that comprehension end too.
100%. And it's together. 100%. Like, a prime example, me and Demora, we watched this show. It is called Love Island. Yeah. Okay, I know we talk about it, fine, whatever.
At least once every episode.
At least. But it is a very interesting show because it's funny because we came up with this subject. And then we watched the episode and we're like, this is exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
Because in the episode, there's a couple, Yolande and Danny.
Yes.
Now, they're in a couple. They're trying to make things work. They're trying to get to know each other. Mm-hmm. But for her, she's a little bit more closed off. Her wall's up, XYZ. Yeah. She doesn't feel comfortable talking about her emotions or kind of displaying affection either. Yeah. Right? And then you have Danny on the other side, who has just come in. He saw Yolande, like, really, like, liked her, fell for her kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They coupled up, and he is very much, like, very affectionate. He likes a lot of attention. He wants to, the way he wants to be loved is that he wants attention. He wants the person to be like, I like you. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. Not even like something gross and all over. He just kind of wants someone to be there with him.
Yeah.
And he felt that Yolande was not fulfilling that because she would rarely spend time with him in the villa because they kind of hang out in this villa and get to know each other with no phones, no internet, no distractions. Mm-hmm. So he kind of wanted to get to know her more and get closer to her. So during the day, they really wouldn't hang out. They'd have like seldom conversations. They had one kiss, maybe. And then on top of that, she would like turn over in bed. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't cuddle with him. You know what I mean?
Like, and those are like the things that he needed to feel secure in their relationship.
Exactly.
And like, he was doing it for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And 12 days.
Now, just to keep in mind, like, you have to find love in 30. Like, you don't have to, but that's the goal. You want to find it till the end. But he was doing all that stuff consistently and trying to, I don't know how much he tried personally, but trying to break down at that wall for somebody who's not naturally affectionate with everybody. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's where their disconnect happened.
Yes.
They were communicating, but they were not comprehending each other.
And I think that one of them, Yolande, was not explaining
herself,
her side as well.
Yeah.
And I think she was somebody who needed time, who needed someone who's very patient with her to let her break down those walls a little bit on her own.
Yeah.
And I think she was like, with time, I think things would have been fine. But the fact that he was not understanding where she was coming from because she didn't necessarily communicate it properly. And she didn't know where he was coming from because he didn't communicate that he needed affection, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He did, but she wasn't comprehending how he wanted attention.
Yeah, she just felt like he required a lot of validation.
Exactly.
And that's the part, like, that wasn't sitting with her.
Exactly.
And, like, me and Danielle are watching this and we're like, I feel like if you just said this to him, maybe he would be patient.
Exactly.
Like, if you just gave him a little bit, then maybe he would be patient. Because she had that conversation with him a little too late.
Yes.
It was, like, after someone else had walked into the villa. Because each time someone walks into the villa, they kind of choose who they want to match with. Mm-hmm. Is when that fire came out of, like, under her ass to try something.
Yes. And then she took it. And I felt the comprehension wasn't there. Because he said, I wanted attention. And the first thing she did was, like, oh, let me go give him some attention for 3 minutes. Yeah. And then sat directly on his lap
while he's in the middle of conversation.
Thank you. And we were just like,
oh, sis.
I don't think that's what he meant. I literally think he meant he wanted some hand-holding,
yeah,
shoulder-touching type stuff. Like, yeah, not even...
And her thought process was like, I'm going to go give him affection for 3 minutes. That's what she says. Like, I'm going to give him affection for 3 minutes, yeah, and that should suffice for the day.
Yes.
So, like, at that point, because they just weren't on the same page, she was doing what she wanted. She was doing what she thought would be correct,
mm-hmm,
to just fulfill the check mark of what he asked her about.
Exactly. Instead of comprehending it.
She doesn't know how to love him. And I don't, yes, really think, because Danny was kind of young, I don't, yes, even think he knew how, yes, he wanted to be loved.
Yes.
And I don't think Yawande knew how to also tell her that she can give love either.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing where we had a live the other day too, where we're, yep, talking about what is a fuckboy.
Yep.
And like, we ended up getting to an impasse where someone was like, well, is a fuckboy is somebody that can't communicate. Mm-hmm. So if somebody were to walk in that can do what they wanted, and they choose to go with that person, does that make them a fuckboy? And like, no, we were battling that with Danny too. Like, yes, is he doing it? Is he doing it, or is he a fuckboy or not? It's like, Danny wasn't.
No.
But I don't think that he wasn't honest either.
Yes.
And that was his pitfall.
Yes.
Like, he was trying to weigh his options based off something he knew what he was going to accept, mm-hmm, and somebody new that seems to be giving him all the things that he wanted.
Yeah.
And like, that's a hard decision.
It is.
And then even with someone in the outside world, if they were to do the same thing, it seems like, oh, he's stringing one along to see what he can get from the other
person.
But like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, he was stepping into fuckboy territory,
mm-hmm,
but, or player territory, fuckboy, mm-hmm, fuckgirl. You know what I'm talking about. he was stepping into it, yeah, but it's the honesty that could have cleared things up for him,
yes,
sooner.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. You know, like, with comprehension, some of the things I would say probably would have worked for Danny and Yawande was rewording.
Yeah.
Because, like, all he's saying, he's, like, putting himself out there and saying, mm-hmm, like, I'm loving you. Nobody can come in. That's how he's showing his affection. One, that was mistake number one of Danny. Uh-huh. He was like, nobody can come in and sway me. One, you don't know that because of the nature. You don't make promises like that with somebody you don't know for a while, yeah, and that you're not really sure of.
Yeah.
And then two, it's like he was showing her what he thinks that the way he loves, instead of saying the things that he likes. Like, you know, I like cuddling in bed. You don't think if you told her, like, you lay in bed and be like, oh, come here.
Exactly.
Come lay next to me, that she's going to be like, nah. Like, no, she's exactly trying to get to know you. If she know, mm-hmm, if you introduce her to it, mm-hmm, then it's something she'll become comfortable
exactly
with.
Like, which is a form of rewording.
Yes, it's a form of rewording. I used to be, like, the non-cuddler, mm-hmm, at all. Because when it's time for Demora to go to bed, she does not want to be sweaty. She, mm-hmm, does not want to be, like...
Confined in that way.
Yeah. And at all. But, like, you know, all it took was for one person to show me, this is how you cuddle with comfort. And I was like, oh, okay. Then my head goes on the chest, knock the fuck out. Exactly. Never could be awake.
Exactly.
So then I was like, okay, I found that way, and someone introduced it to me.
Exactly.
If he had, like, found a way to slowly walk her into it,
yes,
I think they would have had an easier time.
Yes. Which is what I was saying. It requires patience.
Yeah.
She needed patience, and he was not.
Yeah. And then with Yawande on the other side, like, yes, she said that she's been hurt before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she made that very clear with him.
No.
I think she made it clear with everybody else in the villa.
Exactly. She made it, she communicated with everyone else, except, yeah, for the person that was important.
Yes. And I feel like that's how she relays information, because, mm-hmm, she doesn't want to do it herself.
Mm-hmm.
She preferred the passive approach.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one, when you're trying to get to know someone and, like, those extenuating circumstances, mm-hmm, that's not going to work. No. And if you're getting to know someone, even with some time, mm-hmm, you can't expect their friend, their best friend, their brother, whatever, to talk to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to be able to open up your mouth and communicate,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was another thing. He's like, oh, I'm hearing that Yawande likes me, but her actions aren't matching.
Exactly. And that's another thing with communicating versus comprehension. It's also the actions of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, yeah, you can comprehend, you can communicate to somebody how you want something done.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes some people need for
visuals
it to be shown to them. Like, this is how, which is where when I'm communicating something that I want, I do it based on, like, the person. What's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like if a situation, like if something happens and I don't really like how it was handled XYZ, instead of like saying, well, I want this and I want that, I will take the opportunity in that one situation to be like, hey, listen, like I really didn't like how you handled XYZ. Mm-hmm. And I would prefer that next time it gets done in this way, because for me as a person, I don't receive that well. Mm-hmm. Something maybe I need to work on or whatever the case may be, but either I'm not receiving well because of the way it happened,
yeah,
or the way that I like to be loved and the way that I like to be understood, mm-hmm, is in this way.
True.
You know what I mean? So I do it kind of situational based, which is a form of like action rewording and relaying the information in a way that they can understand it. Because sometimes people need that connection. It's like the situation and then the communication of it and then comprehending it, you know, will all kind of come together.
It's just like school. Like, you know, when you do something wrong, they mark you and they tell you what you did wrong. Mm-hmm. From that experience, you remember, oh, I don't want to make that mistake again. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to try again. But like, you also have to keep in mind, there are some people who will need to make the mistake more than once to get it through. Now, more than once, I'm like going to cap it at three.
Yes.
That's like maybe my mark. Three times. After three times, now I think you think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
So that's too much. Or you're just not
listening and it's kind
of coming off. You're not bothering.
Exactly. It's kind of coming off as you're not even bothering to pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. Now, I know some certain like personality traits or things that bother you will take a while to get there.
Or warm up to it.
Exactly. It's understood.
So that's one thing. Like, I remember when I was in high school, we had like this thing called morality. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was a class about, it was basically a psych class, mm-hmm, but they were talking about moral issues, how to understand yourself. Mm-hmm. At the time, obviously, I was interested in it, mm-hmm, but I didn't take it for what it was at that point. Like, we were learning something called the Enneagram, which mm-hmm is like a Greek like questioning study where numbers 1 through 9 and you learn about yourself. And I thought that was good. But one of the things I remember is, like, a writing portion, we had to talk about how relaying information in tenses could affect the person's response. Mm-hmm. And I remember they used to say, if you spoke a lot in past tense, it comes off as you're blaming the person.
Okay.
If you were, like, speaking in present tense, you're talking about the situation at hand. Mm-hmm. But when you talked into future tense, it meant that you were making a choice for the future. Mm-hmm. And I always took it as, like, okay.
Yeah.
From that point on, of course, I had to introduce it into my life. Yep. From that point on, I was like, okay, I'm going to avoid using the past tense because I don't want someone to think I'm blaming them. I just want to go further from where we are right now.
Yes.
That's how I would approach it. Instead of saying, oh, you did this.
Yeah.
You did that, or you're always doing this, or blah, 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 and always blaming them. Yes. I feel like even as a person, I don't think I would take it well.
No, me neither.
And I can take things, I can take more than I give myself credit for.
Same.
But, like, talking about it in that way, I was like, you know, I don't want someone to feel like they're blaming, because then the wall comes up.
Yeah.
I want you to hear me.
Yes.
So comprehend me. Yes. So I would go like, okay, instead of, okay, so this is what happened. Mm-hmm. I'd only be in the past tense for 2 seconds, because you do have to discuss it. This is what happened, but going forward.
Yes.
Can you do this?
Or
can you do this or can you not do this? Yes. Immediately, I saw a change in people's faces. It's like, oh, I can't combat her because she's just telling me to do better next time.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, this works. And it's like, you know, I think some people may take it as manipulation, but I don't think so. Manipulation gets a bad rep. Let me say that. I think manipulation gets a bad rep. Mm-hmm. Manipulation is also seduction.
Yes.
So you tell me you want to be in a relationship, or I'm not gonna say friendship because I don't want my friends seducing me, but hey, if you want me to do what you want, like, maybe it'll work. but like, if you want to be in a relationship, do you not want the person to kind of seduce you and teach you things and things like that? So I'm like, it gets a bad rep if you're doing manipulation to the point where like the other person has no choice.
Exactly.
That's problematic. That's, but when you're trying to convince someone to your other side, you know, take the steps to get there.
Exactly.
And that was one of those things. And then, like, from that point on, I had to now just gauge what my expectations or standards were.
True.
That's where I was like, okay, now I've learned how to get my point across. Mm-hmm. What do I expect from
someone,
the other party?
Yeah. And I think that's something people need to differentiate for themselves. Like, I feel like standards, for the most part, are, like, a level of quality.
Yeah. They're, you know what I mean? They're benchmark.
Like they're, like, the base level almost, but things that almost you can't, they're like deal breakers almost, like things that you're not going to accept.
Yeah. Like, I used to say, mm-hmm, I personally am not going to, I couldn't talk to somebody without a car. And it's only because of the where I live.
Yeah.
You don't have a car, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not open to driving. Yeah. I do hate driving. Yeah. But that's a different story. Yeah. It's not like I'm not open to driving. Mm-hmm. And I'll drive if it's serious.
Understand.
But, like, if you are just like, oh, it's okay. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get a car in my life. I'm going to look at you like, we're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
Because, one, I don't want to drive.
Yeah.
I'll do it if I like you enough.
I don't like that.
I'll do it if I like you enough. But, like, I'm not trooping here and there all the time.
No.
I already don't like it. If I'm making that sacrifice to even go see you once in a while, I'm going to need to see, like, oh, okay, the person has aspirations for this at some point. Yes, they have aspirations to get there. And then I'll like, okay, that makes sense. Or it's just a hiccup in time. If it's a hiccup in time, that's you think different. I'm going to fault you?
No.
I know you're capable of taking care of something.
So would you say your standard is more so having ambition versus not having a car?
Oh, that is like, that's not even a standard. I'm not talking to you without ambition. It's not for me.
Okay.
So yeah, if you want to call it a standard, I'm not, that's a deal breaker.
Same.
You lack ambition.
Same.
I'm going to immediately find you unattractive.
Yeah. I think that's just a baseline for almost everybody.
Yeah, ambition to me means that you're going, no matter where you are in life, you don't plan to stay there in life forever.
Exactly. Even if you're not acting on them right now, as long as I know you have ambitions and that there is a point in time. Because everyone goes through their things where they're, you know, there's ups and downs.
Yeah.
But if I know that your ambition is to do XYZ or you do have ambition and there's periods of time where it's like pow, 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 sexy.
Yeah.
After that, like, if I'm seeing, like, there's just a lull altogether for years, like, what are we here for? Because then it also kind of bleeds into your relationship, the lack of ambition. It's like, there's no ambition in our relationship, there's no ambition in your life. Like, where are we going from here?
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's kind of where I would take it. It's like, I don't know.
That's why, like, you know, the standard for me was like, okay, I would like, personally, to talk to somebody who has a car. I'd like to talk to somebody with ambition. I'd like to talk to somebody with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Just because, like, our personalities are going to end up bumping into each other a lot.
Sure.
And then just, I hate that I'm quoting this man right now, but my father says relationships are hard enough. Why are we adding extra things?
He's not wrong. He's not wrong about certain things, but he's not wrong completely.
Yeah.
In that way.
There's the relationships, like learning someone else, you are already doing that.
It's a lot of work.
And then you're going to add external factors that you can't stand.
Exactly.
Like struggles and problems, you're going to have them.
Yeah.
But like, at least be realistic with yourself, not just with the other person. I'm not going to come up to this person, I have nothing and I expect you to have everything.
Yes.
That's not going to work.
Well,
but like, you got expectations. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Expectations and standards are a little different.
Yes.
But I'm not going to expect you to have everything and I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's problematic.
True.
But just setting that course where like, okay, I'm here. I know what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Think being comfortable with myself
mm-hmm.
and what I have, and then going out there and being like, okay, what can match me or be better than me?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I would be like, all right, you think about it first. You got to know yourself for this stuff.
Yes, you
like,
do.
You cannot expect for someone to understand you.
Don't even
go to somebody until you understand yourself and where you're coming from.
Exactly.
Because that message will not be relayed well.
No, because then you would then go back on your own self and kind of contradict yourself because you don't quite understand what you're even talking about.
Yeah.
And then if you're not even upholding to yourself to those expectations, then how could you uphold somebody else to them?
Exactly. So that's where you know you have your expectations and then you have the reality.
Exactly.
So like the expectation, yeah, it's good to have them.
Of course.
It's good to have standards.
Yes.
Like, you know, keep it realistic to you.
Yeah.
But like the reality of it is people are going to disappoint you.
True.
Because nobody's perfect.
Nobody
if it's their natural instinct to be a certain way,
then
that's them. But like if they're making the effort to do something for you that's not normal to them, you're going to have to let, just like a kid who just learned how to walk, you're going to have to be okay with them falling.
Exactly.
And that's the point. Like, that you got to be realistic about it too.
Yes.
Because there are things that happen. Mm-hmm. I know my uncle, he does the same thing for his wife every single day, mm-hmm. okay? This man does his thing, mm-hmm. then he goes and he washes dishes. Ugh, my heart is melting from saying that. Man who can wash dishes. He yes. washes dishes and then throws out the trash.
Yes.
Every single day for his wife. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's something that's against character or not, mm-hmm. but I know because his wife cooks for him, the exchange is that he'll do something like that. And yeah. that is nice.
Yeah.
That is nice. Now, let's say for one day, he can't do it, whatever. He's sick. He doesn't feel well. You think his wife is going to come out his neck?
No.
She's going to realize there's a reason.
Yeah.
And it's going to be communicated.
Exactly.
Or if he were to forget one time.
Exactly.
I don't see that happening.
No.
But if he were to forget one time, I'm sure that would be... That's where you have to realize, like, okay, you have those expectations, but you gotta realize. Mm-hmm. Realize the person's there too. Yeah. They're not meant to just please you. True. So just think about it. Like, that person usually makes an effort to do this for me, or they've done this for me in the past. They weren't able to fulfill this time, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna hope for better next time.
Yeah, 100%.
So
like, that's it. And even in those instances, I wouldn't take it as a disappointment. Mm-hmm. It might be like a minor. I wouldn't even consider that a disappointment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just, the person can do it. That's okay.
But
it's
fine. Some people
But for
would.
Some people, it would. You're right.
Like, that's like, you know, I'm pretty sure my aunt's love language is acts of service.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to get into love languages, yes. too. But I'm pretty sure it's acts of service. Yes. So he knows how she wants to be loved.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
It is. And he took the time to... understand it. She most definitely communicated that with him, because my mom is a major communicator. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't come out exactly the way she wants,
yeah.
but a lot of times I think through her actions she sometimes shows, like, this is what I want. And
yeah.
he paid attention, mm-hmm. he understood, he comprehended what was happening,
yeah.
and he's like, all right, I know what to fix. Yeah. I know what I need to do to make her happy.
True.
And then vice versa.
Yeah. And I want to make this clear.
Vice versa.
I want to make this clear, like, if you're listening to this podcast and, you know, you were like, oh, I'm not a mind reader, interesting, I want to make it clear that this is only going to be for somebody who wants to put in the effort,
yes.
to do that.
Yes.
Yes. In this situation, my uncle is the kind of person that will pay attention. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't pay attention and mm-hmm. they still want to do better. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? So, like, if that's going to be the thing where you're like, I don't really care mm-hmm. to do that, then okay, bye.
Exactly.
So, but, like, if you're trying to find ways to communicate or get your point across or do things with your partner, your boyfriend, your
significant other,
whatever. Your situationship, you want to work, mm-hmm. like, you gotta really realize that whatever you're doing is not working now, find something that will work for you guys.
Yes.
Like, love together. Languages together. And, like, yes. it's not just you learning it and be like, all right, my love language is this and this is what I
yes,
want.
Yes, yes. And I feel like love languages are a tool. I don't think people should just kind of live by them.
No.
And just be like, oh, you
want to
be loved this way? Okay. But there's layers to a lot of different things. It's just like...
horoscopes.
Yeah,
like,
true.
They're not... Some people, you can't... They do live their lives by it.
That's
and
all
by
lies,
all means,
yeah.
do your thing.
Yeah.
But I have always seen it as a tool to get to know yourself.
Yes.
And then maybe get to know people's things. Because that thing is so deep.
It's
there
very
are
deep.
So
it's a
many.
Tunnel.
It is a tunnel that you can get lost in, and there are so many things to it. There's like how you love, how you interact, blah 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 mm-hmm. blah. Same with love languages. There's five of them.
Yes.
Okay. And each of them kind of points out something that someone likes, and that's just one aspect of them.
Yes.
So, like, I know there's quality time.
Yes.
And physical touch.
Yes.
Those are mine. And then I think my third is acts of service.
Yes.
And then there's words of affirmation and receiving gifts.
Yes.
Those are like, I don't really, they're not mine.
No.
So,
mine are quality time and physical touch as
yeah.
well. I don't know what my third kind of one, because the way the test goes, it's a surveyed kind of test mm-hmm. that you take answering a certain number of questions, and they kind of pick out a percentage for you.
Yeah.
So it's like, my top percentage was, I think, quality time. My second percentage was, like, physical touch. And then after that, it was, like, something. I don't remember what
yeah.
it was. But for me, acts of service is not a big thing.
Really?
Acts of service... maybe it is. That might have been my third
one. It might have changed, because
like,
I hear, like, some
true.
Of these tests, it's not like
that's
the Meyer-Briggs ones where... Like they're not supposed to change, yeah. But some of these tests, they change as you get older.
Not even as you get older, as you go through relationships, because yeah. you start to learn what you find important and what you don't. Mm-hmm. And I think mine has changed. I think acts of service might be one of mine, because I do appreciate when someone does something for me, if it's going to make my life easier, in a sense. It's same. Kind of attractive. It's not something I need, but definitely it will show me that you love me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It will kind of show me like, wow, you really do care about me. Holy yes. crap. And it will put a little smile on my face. I will become a little cheeky.
No, I love that. Like, it may be my third, but I think that's mm-hmm. one I kind of pay attention to a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because like active service is kind of doing things to make somebody's life easier.
Or happy.
Or like, happy. Like
I was looking at like a few pictures and mm-hmm. it was just kind of like, oh, on my way home, I brought you like a little thing of soup or like a little thing that I thought about you in that way.
Well, but then that'd be like gifts though, the kind of stopping, like.
I guess so. But it's kind of like.
It's like to ease true. Your life.
That's true.
Like I remember there was one guy that I had talked to. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have this little system where every Sunday I clean the bathroom and I'm listening to Haitian music mm-hmm. and, like, compa is deep in this room and mm-hmm. I'm doing my own thing. It's like a habitual Sunday thing for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, like, you know, the person asked if I needed help and I don't like to ask for help. So I was like, no, it's okay. Then I'm, like, washing dishes. They're like, they came from behind me. They're like, I'll wash the dishes. Go work on whatever it is that you were going to do. And I'm sitting here, like, my heart's fluttering. I'm like, oh, thank you. It's not that I don't want the assistance. Mm-hmm. It's just a little hard for me to accept it sometimes.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, that made my life easier, and I can move on to doing the other stuff yes. that I had yes. planned that
yes.
day.
Yes.
And that, for me, is very important. Yes.
Like, even something as simple as picking up the dry cleaning or picking up the whatever, just a way to make your life, to lessen your burden for yes. the day.
And I love that.
Yep.
And then the quality time. That's one of my love languages.
Same here.
That I struggle with.
Yeah.
I struggle with giving, but, like, I have no problem receiving, because, like, when I want my time, I want my time.
Yes.
Like you cannot see me for a couple days, but, like, when I miss somebody or I miss talk, like, I will probably call you in the most random times mm-hmm. or, like, I'll be, like, so in your face. But, like, sometimes I need my space to collect.
Yeah.
And that's the part where, those are the times where I struggle with it, not all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, quality time is just, like, making yourself available to do something with someone. No matter what it is. Sometimes yeah. I go to the Rocks to go just chill with one of my friends, or I'll have one of my best friends who I just travel with. Mm-hmm. That is our quality time, because you mm-hmm. know what, we don't sleep, we talk. That's yeah. the entire time. Or one of my friends, we will sit in my car, me and her will sit in my car, we'll listen to music and just talk about life.
Mm-hmm.
So like everybody has that thing
that is that considered like quality time,
quality time
in any form. Yeah, really.
Even my parents, like yeah. they're people who want to be called every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to be on the phone to start with.
But you took time out of your
but
day.
But I will call them, because I'm realizing as I'm getting a little older, I understand how much it means to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I try to be a little bit better. Don't get me wrong. I'm still the daughter you call. I'll be like, I'm doing something right now. Let me call you back and I'll mm-hmm. forget. But
mm-hmm.
when at some points, there are times where they just cross my mind and I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm going to call them. And I'll try to call them every single day. I started to set reminders because
mm-hmm.
the phone thing's not for me.
I totally understand. I'm kind of the same way. Like, I do struggle at times to give that quality time.
Yeah.
But I know how important it is, because I know how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Especially when the person's very busy and mm-hmm. they took 5 minutes out of their time. Like, that to me is mm-hmm. so attractive. I don't know what it is. Like, even for me, that's how I know I like somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I took time, because I'm busy, even though I'm like, I could be doing, like, random things, and I like my alone time. But if I took some time to talk to you or to even give you that time of day, because my time is precious to me,
mm-hmm.
I like you.
Yeah.
And you're important in my life because I took that time. And I feel yeah. like that's a value to me, because I know how important it is to me.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be as important to the other person, but to me, I'm like, wow, time is important. And you took time to do that for me. Thank yeah. you.
And even with, like, if I can't do it at that point in time, I always try to schedule it at a later date. Because
yeah.
the thing is, if I know that somebody was looking forward to something, I don't like making promises I can't keep.
Same.
It bothers me.
Same.
So, like, I'll do it at a later time. Mm-hmm. I used to just be like, okay, whatever, it happens. But then I realized, you know what? If the person wants to see you, you do it a little later.
Yeah.
Now, the next is physical touch. I think that's also my second one. Mm-hmm. But, like, not that... It doesn't have to be mushy-goosey all over the person.
No, it doesn't have to be, like, intense, heavy PDA and all that stuff. I think it just really has to do with, like, a handhold, an arm touch. Like, yeah. I just need to kind of be overlaying you in some way. Your aura needs to be...
No, Danielle likes to be, like, wrapped. Like, she wants... Even if you can't touch, she'll wrap pinky toes together. And, like, there'll be times we're watching TV, all of a sudden I feel like her leg is underneath my butt cheek. I'm like, what are you doing?
She's like, I just need warm.
And at that point, I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm the same way. If it's, like, my significant other, yeah. If at night, if I can't, it's too hot to be around. Like, again, mm-hmm, the hot mm-hmm. thing. If it's too hot, like, if our butt cheeks are touching, I'm content.
Exactly. Or just, like, a leg.
Just a leg. Or, like, foot. You know, I'm chilling after that.
Yeah.
Now, the last two, which are, like, less likely to be the ones that I exhibit, but I know people who like them.
Yes.
Would be words of affirmation yes. and gift giving.
Yes.
Gift giving, I don't think it's always just getting someone something.
No.
I think it's really, like, oh, you saw something and you were thinking of them. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you about them bringing you soup. I think that falls more under gift giving because it's like, oh, they probably knew you were sick and they brought you something.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. like, that's why I'm like, okay, that's a little bit mm-hmm. different. And then, like, the words of affirmation is telling someone how you feel.
Yes. And yeah. They need that.
Yeah. Some people really need that. And to it's feel nice. Feel
loved. Like, for me, like, when I have too much separation physically,
mm-hmm.
I sort of sometimes feel disconnected from my partner.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll act disconnected. But, again, tying it back kind of to communication,
mm-hmm.
like, I tend to then communicate with them and be like, it's because we're not, like, I know in my head it's because we're not spending enough physical time together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel disconnected from my partner. But then when I'm around them again and we're hugging and we're cuddling, I feel it again. Like, I feel all the feels again. It is the weirdest thing. It's something I've noticed about myself over the years. But for someone who likes words of affirmation, that's kind of how it is. Like, they don't hear those words. They're just kind of in their head like,
Do they love me?
Are we still something? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's not that they don't know this already. It's just kind of like they need the words to affirm their feelings and your feelings about them. They just like those kinds of things.
Yeah.
That's how they are, you know?
Yeah. And then, like, you know, I'm definitely the one, like, those other ones are my strengths, but so that one's not really my strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that I have to be aware of. That's why, you know, we're talking about this right now. This is such a good look. Like, I feel like if I didn't know Danielle, these things would have been like, wow, that's how you really feel kind of things.
Yeah.
If we didn't share the same love language, now I have some work to do because it's like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yes,
which is then why I was saying it's a tool to, you know, take that stepping stone into communicating how you want things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can figure out your love language or kind of think about it, reflect on it. That's why we're saying know yourself before someone can kind of, you can show somebody to love you because mm-hmm. you need to know how you want to be loved.
Exactly.
So it's one way to communicate to somebody in that way. I'm sorry. The phone was behind me.
Sorry, I just started looking into the distance. I was actually looking at you, but I looked through you by accident.
It's okay.
I'm a little cockeyed.
Stop. Oh god. What was I even talking about?
I'm sorry.
Okay. No.
Communicating.
Yes. Communicating how you feel and using the love languages to kind of help the person understand a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may not be their love language, so they're not going to comprehend it because they're like, that's not how I want to be loved.
Yeah.
That's not how I view love. Mm-hmm. But to them, that's what it might be. And that's why I think the love languages were even kind of made up so that people can have a better understanding. Like, I was watching, I think, Dr. Phil or something like that.
Dr. Phil.
I don't remember.
Dr. Phil's a mess. I don't know what he actually, like...
Son.
Okay, but well, that's another thing.
Another story for another day. But there was a couple on there who, they had a lot of problems in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until they started to understand each other's love languages that they finally got to a point where their marriage was great.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how did y'all even get to be married? I don't understand that. But whatever.
Yeah.
You know, before the love languages existed, people were just kind of going based on whatever.
A lot of people go based off vibe and connection.
Yes.
And then, like, yeah, that's one part.
Sometimes that's
like, I know vibe and connection can be in and out.
Yeah.
So, like, people just focus on that, but they don't focus on different aspects. Like, yeah, we're talking about how to be loved with your love languages.
Yeah.
But then there's how do you handle the person when they're upset?
Yeah.
How do you actually argue?
Yes.
Like, how do you deal with those other aspects of your relationship? Because that's not just the only thing. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, other things are welcomed. Kids, money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parental, like, external factors, things like that, that all have an impact on your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, you know, this, yeah, maybe one, but I think they just probably, yeah, they got married based off a connection and maybe other things, but they didn't know how to love each other. Okay. They loved each other, but they may not have known how to.
Or, like, even how to mend those different wavering connections.
Yes.
Because I feel like the love languages can help that. They're just kind of like a tool, in a sense, or even just communicating how you feel, even if you don't use the love languages, communicating how you want to be loved and how they can show you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they might have not even realized. They would have been like, oh, I'm like, I didn't even know, like, that's what you needed, or like, I didn't know that me doing that, because you can kind of almost sandwich things.
Mm-hmm.
You can be like, you do this and that makes me feel great.
Yeah.
You don't do this, it doesn't really make me feel great, or you handle it this way, it doesn't make me feel great, but when you do this other thing, it makes me feel amazing.
Yeah.
Kind of sandwiching things and showing them, like, you are doing okay,
mm-hmm.
but it's just certain things that, like, I can't get past, or like, I feel like our relationship would be better if, you know, we handled this one situation, you know? Because no one wants to feel like they're, like, getting beat down.
Beat down all the time with information.
Yeah.
I used to say...
like, what they're doing wrong.
As a joke, but I think I'm, like, dead ass, that my love language is consistency. Or responsibility. Exactly. Nothing is sexier to me than a guy who is responsible.
And consistent.
With his own life.
Woo-hoo!
And things he has to do. I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just sitting here like, yeah,
exactly.
That would be my joke. That's you showing me your love.
Yeah.
When you're responsible, you tell me you're going to be here at this time and you're there.
Oh.
Because I follow suit. If the person is, if the person doesn't have that, I'm not going to do the same for you either. I'm always
fair
a big
in that way.
Fair.
Too.
So if you're a person who always forgets times, blah, 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 I will be the person to forget. I'm already forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're a person who's very strict with deadlines, I will automatically feel bad and be like, okay, I have to make an extra effort.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that's important. But, like, also, you can't take these love languages and impose them.
Yeah.
They're meant for you them to understand.
Yeah.
It's not now that, oh, these are the ways I like to love. If you can't do it, then we're not, like, this is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to just... it has to be a conversation first.
Yeah.
And see, like, oh, maybe I don't know how to do that. Like, don't just jump down their throat. It doesn't give them a chance to grow.
And also let them surprise you.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, give them the guidelines, but don't tell them, this is what you need to do, this is exactly what you need to do, this is what you need to do. And if you don't do these exact things, then, you know, we will not work. It's like, let them surprise you.
Yeah.
Give them some time. Relay the information, but give them some time to muster it and be like, then, you know, a week or two down the line, oh, baby, you did that? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let it happen
organically.
Yes.
Yeah. And if something's not working, then we start talking about tools.
Exactly.
Like, don't go right off the bat on the first... you could, but, like, don't go right off the bat, this is what you need to do.
But not even that. I mean, I, like when even if you're, like, in the middle of a relationship and you're trying to figure out what's going on, what's the disconnect?
Mm-hmm.
Internally, look, display, like, talk about what you want. But even when someone tells you what they want... sometimes it might take some time to find a way to fit it into the natural things of doing things. If you've been together 1-2 years and, like, you know, you still can't, you haven't communicated things yet in a certain way, like, even if it's something minute, like, give them time, give them space to either make that error again and then be like, listen, we talked about this. Let them come to their own thing. Because if you kind of tell them time again and be like, why haven't you done it yet? Why haven't you done it yet? What is going on? Why? I told you this, you didn't do it yet. And it's like, no one,
they don't want to do it.
It then doesn't become organic.
Yeah.
You know
I'm like
I mean?
That. When someone tells me they want me to do something,
same.
Especially if it's not related well, if I have to drudge my feet to do it, it's not, you're going to tell that I don't want to do it. It's
exactly.
not organic.
It's not going to happen naturally. Like, even if we want to bring it back to you, Wanda and Danny, like,
yeah.
Danny wanted affection. He was like, I want it now. And then
Sis
she was
just
like,
I'm going to give him my love for 3 minutes.
What the fuck? No.
I was sitting, and then she just plopped on him because she doesn't know. That's the thing.
Exactly.
And she felt forced to do it
because
she thought if she didn't do it, she was going to lose him.
Exactly.
And that was just not the way to go about it. about it.
Yes, yes.
They just
That's kind of what I mean. Because it became like this thing. You don't give me enough friend. You don't give me enough friend. Okay, now I'm just going to give you this inorganic, unoriginal. Here's some affection. Fine. Yeah, here.
It becomes a chore.
Exactly.
So, like, you want, like, we're obviously suggesting you do talk about those things.
Yes.
But let them do it in their own way. Because some people can show you their love in a way you never even thought it was possible.
Yes.
We mentioned the garbage throwing. It is love. Yeah. When he throws out the trash and washes the dishes, that's love, okay?
That is
really nice, and they're putting that person in the space to be like, okay, you're finally doing what I need you to, but you're doing it in your own way, and that's nice.
Yes.
So that's definitely one of those things.
Yes.
And then, like, as far as, like, going back from the communicating thing, I want to – this is probably the only disclaimer that I'm ever going to put in. I want this to be clear that – every relationship is different.
Yes.
Do not think just because this worked in a relationship before, that is now completely going to be transferable in another relationship.
Exactly.
Because each person is different.
Different, yeah.
Like, I know I mentioned Enneagrams, horoscopes, blah, 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 all that jazz, but just like those things, they are telling you each person is different.
Yeah.
Each person will have this, each person will have that. So, like, when it comes to life, you also have to keep in mind, you may be interested in that same type of person, or you may have a type, but that type is going to give you that their version of it.
Yeah.
So
you can't kind of impose those kind of similar situations that happen.
Especially in the past.
Exactly. If it's happened in the past and then the person you were with dealt with it in this XYZ way, you can't expect that you propose this problem to this new person and that they're going to do it in the same exact way. I think that's unfair to do to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta let
already
them,
even make if them the enemy before
exactly.
they...
Exactly. Even if...
What, don't know where it's coming from yet.
Exactly. Even if they're gonna do something that might disappoint you, let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you can see how they handle certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can kind of... not warp, not change, but show
see
them
how... See if you can
how,
accept it first.
See if you can accept it first. And then if not, see how you can explain to them how you want that kind of thing to be handled or that situation to be... express to them how you felt about that and how doing something else would make you feel better, like kind of talking in future tense, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like to then take that into, take how someone else dealt a situation into a new relationship and expect them to do the same exact thing, that's just incredibly unfair to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, you can't do that. Because everyone's different.
You do paint them as an enemy and they don't, they're not going to feel the want to grow.
No. And then they're not going to want to work with you in a sense, because it's like, okay, well, no matter what I do at that point, their person's going to think that this is how I'm going to react. So what's the point if they already feel that way?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
Yeah. But question. Have you ever put anyone on a pedestal before?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I have.
Explain.
Explain. I think I'm a person that, like, really likes to make people feel themselves naturally.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's funny because a lot of people say I don't give compliments.
Yeah.
But actually,
but you're a hype man.
I am like the ultimate hype man.
Yeah.
I will make you feel like you are the best person in the world.
Yeah.
If you forgot who the fuck you are, call me. I will remind you that you are that bitch, that man, that whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, those are the people, obviously the people I only think that of.
Of course.
So, like, if I don't, you can call me, I'd be like,
Yeah, you are.
You're shit.
No.
Like, no, probably not. But I just probably wouldn't say anything. I just let you talk.
Oh, God.
So I have, like, in relationships, both friends or romantic relationships, I believe so much in that person that I do sometimes end up putting them on a pedestal. I did it once. I probably will not do it again. But I think that that person's capable of so much that it's like, I don't see them, even though I know you can do wrong, I don't see you in that bad light.
Of course.
Like, even if you did something wrong, I'm going to be like, no, at the end of the day, I accept the good and the bad parts of you. I think you're a good person kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have put people on a pedestal. Maybe, like, that tippy-top pedestal. Yes, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do that as much
because,
you know, it removes the human aspect of it.
Yeah.
But as far as have I done it, yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think...
It's not a bad thing, because I think you're great, and I want you to know that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a horrible thing, but I think the not capable of realizing that people can make mistakes.
They can make
mistakes.
And they
can't fall off that damn pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, unless they're bolted down to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't let go of that, then that's not a good thing to put someone on a pedestal.
Yeah. And I think it does create it creates some pressure.
Yeah.
That they don't feel that they can live up to.
Yeah.
But I guess a part of me wants that. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to live up to my expectations. So why would I make you feel any less than?
True.
So I have to work on the medium ground, but that it would be the...
I feel you.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever kind of put anyone on a pedestal before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I had one point where I was, like, incredibly disappointed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That I was just kind of like... I almost expect it to be disappointed. Not expecting failure. I just expect that I will be disappointed by someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just look at the inevitable, so I never put someone on a pedestal because I'm like, there's room for disappointment. It is what it is. I just kind of go from there and be like, wow, okay, you did something that I didn't expect you to do, and I'm like happy about that. So that in that way, I kind of take the small things and be like, okay, you know, it is what it is. I do have standards, but I don't think I've ever put someone on a pedestal to the point where I'm like, you fell off this pedestal. How dare you? Like, how you never do it? Because for me, it's about consistency. Like, if I see you consistently doing something, then all right, you're not going to do something once. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to put you on this pedestal and go, he's amazing or she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, see, down the line.
With the pedestal thing, at least for me, I've never actually seen the person fall. Because
mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty clear with who I think the person's personality is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say things that I don't think they can fulfill. I'm mm-hmm. going to assume that they can.
Okay.
So I kind of gauge where you are and where your pedestal, I guess your pedestal is at. It'll be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just
okay.
put no, like put you in, you can do no wrong.
True. But I just think personally for me, I don't think I've ever done it just because I feel like people will disappoint me. I want them to surprise me kind of thing. I don't tell them that. I don't go, I know you're just going to disappoint me, so it doesn't even matter. But in the back of my mind a little bit, I try not to think that way. But in a sense, I'm always like, well, people will disappoint you. It is what it is.
I know.
You know what I mean?
And that's kinda hard for me because I kind of just am like, so set on them being good. Like, yeah, I see the best in people.
Yeah, me too.
Except for their... Like, I will, like, see the best of people with their flaws.
Oh.
That's the thing. Like, true. I will still see it.
Me too.
And it's hard.
It's just kind of like, when I... Especially when I'm, like, for... Especially in dating and, like, when I first meet you, I just kind of expect it. It's bad. Yeah.
When I first meet you, I don't trust you.
Maybe that's what it is, too. It's, like, a matter of building trust, because... Mm-hmm. For me, because that's why I feel like putting on a pedestal, how can I do that if I
don't trust you?
If I don't trust you, if I don't know you, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, because if you fall short, then it's kind of like, it's going to hurt me more than anything. Maybe it's a defense mechanism that I have. Who knows? I don't know. But do you think you can get over it if someone doesn't meet those requirements or doesn't meet your expectations? Do you think you'll be able to cope with that?
It depends.
Okay.
It totally depends.
Because to me, expectations kind of waver. You know what I mean? Like, someone can reach those expectations and they cannot reach those expectations. And I think those kind of things waver. And I think because people are human, expectations are a little rough to kind of be like, this is what I expect of you. But then again, it could also help somebody, you know, be the best person that they're going to be. But let me know. Not to complicate the question or anything.
Okay. Do I think if someone doesn't reach those requirements, okay.
Then you can look past it.
Look past it.
Or accept.
Accept? Depends.
Okay.
It totally That's depends.
Fair. That's if fair. 100% fair.
I think my standards,
mm-hmm.
I've set. Like,
of course.
Whoever I've talked to,
at least
they fit my standards.
Okay.
As far as my expectations, it will be... I don't set expectations, which is why I don't like that question when guys first meet me. They're like, oh, what do you want in a guy?
Oh,
and I used to think that I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to be surprised at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be like, oh, maybe I'm not a woman yet because I don't want to say. It's more of like, I just don't want to tell you what I expect because I want you to surpass my mm-hmm. expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say for now, the standard is base,
mm-hmm.
but my expectations, I never tell them what it is, so I can't ever tell you that they don't reach them.
Yeah, and I also think it, like, decreases the pressure on them, too.
Yeah.
I think that would add a lot of pressure if you tell
them. That's what happened after the pedestal thing.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, no, I'm not gonna tell you what I expect.
No.
I will just let you tell, this is how I kind of gauge if you were how much you think I'm worth.
Yeah.
I will let you dictate what you think I deserve.
Yeah. And then, I don't see eye to eye with that.
Then. Yeah, if I don't see eye to eye with that, then that's a different conversation. But I will just be like, okay, I'm going to look at you as a guy. I'm going to tell you, I kind of just think everybody else has something to offer. And let's see what you have to offer. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure there. You do your thing. And at that point, I'm like, okay, does this person think I'm a fool or not? And I'll let you do your own thing. So I can say, I can if they don't meet it. 100% of the time, but I wouldn't be able to look past it if it's like every way I expect to be treated is just not fulfilled.
Okay, so now do you feel that it is okay that, oh damn, I done forgot this question, but yeah, I was okay. thinking about it. I forgot. It was reeling around and I was like, yes, let's do it. Darn, it was a good one too. I love when things just kind of fall out your head.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
It's age. I'm convinced. No, not you. Just in general. Like, I speak, and nowadays I speak and I feel like I'm losing my train of thought in the middle of my conversation.
Jeez.
You want me to jog your memory?
It was kind of like along the lines of like your expectations. Do you feel that if they aren't met?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, she got it. I got it now. I got it. Bing! Damn, I talked to you for too long. This is so bad.
This is exactly how this is going to go, guys.
This is so bad. Anyway, I'll probably come back to it at some point. Also, do you think that standards are considered expectations?
No.
Like, no. Okay.
No. All right. I think standards has to do with quality. Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with it being a benchmark of what you think you're okay with.
Mm-hmm.
That's just already, like, you're walking in saying, all right, this person can do this, this person does this, this person does that, and those are where you start with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas expectations are kind of like the belief that someone will or should achieve something. Mm-hmm. So those are, like, and that's why I would say, like, those are the ones that waver, like, as you mentioned before.
I finally remembered my question.
Okay, what's your question?
It's kind of a devil's advocate kind of question, because it kind of goes against everything we're kind of saying here.
Yeah.
But if you tell, I feel like you were saying
my
that...
My favorite kind of question.
You were saying that you would not tell them if you start with them, they're your expectations, so that they can kind of surprise you. Now, do you think it's bad to then tell them, and I feel like then they would just kind of do the expectations that you felt in the beginning to kind of win you over, and then later on kind of fall back on it because you've kind of told them exactly what you wanted and how to win you, and they got that. And then now that they've kind of won you and you're kind of in there, do you feel like it's wrong to then talk about your expectations if the person's just going to kind of use them against you?
This is why I don't share them to start with.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the main reason I don't share them. And then two, I do think people get complacent with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not telling you, you always have to guess, kind of thing. You have to learn me as a person. You're going to know.
You got to do the work.
You're going to know what I like and what I don't like. I'm very vocal. Like, you will never be lost with me. But
but then, hence, that's where the communication kind of comes in.
Yeah. So, like, if they know certain things, like, I don't want you to get into the habit, like, I fulfilled all these requirements, I have her, and then you can become complacent. And the complacency is going to be a killer in your relationship, because my expectations of you, or what you think my expectations were when we first started talking, just like these tests change, your answer changes these tests, so do I. I'm going to change no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, who I was in the beginning of our relationship is going to be different in the middle, or till death do us part, if it goes that far. But, like, it's not going to stay the same.
Yeah.
So that would be, like, if you fail on whatever the things you used to do for me, I will tell you.
Okay.
If I feel like you are taking a step back and, like, thinking, oh, things are good, no, I'm going to tell you, what you think you're doing is not up to par anymore. What's going on?
Then that comes into a matter of keeping you, in a sense.
Maintaining. Up with
those expectations on both parties.
And it's, I would do the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't want it boring. I don't want boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to become complacent.
But then would you consider that consistency complacency?
No.
Right? No, okay. No,
consistency is, like, you do something, but, like, you continue adding to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right, you continue learning the person, like, it changes.
But sometimes people can think of consistency as, like, a straight line rather than, like, a upward slope.
No, consistency means those things that you do that I like, and you keep doing them.
And then you add on top of that.
And then you just keep, like, even better. Leveling up. Gotcha, by the time we, like, let's say you are my husband. By the time we die, you have reached a peak. In, like, it's Mount Everest, and you've, like, topped every shit on the top of the planet, and, like, it'll be cute, because it's like, okay, I'm learning you, you're learning me, we're always changing, life changes us, there's gonna be things that are gonna thrown at us, so, like, keep doing it. That's what, you don't watch the show, because she's so irritating. One Tree Hill, One Tree Hill, one of the characters, Nathan and Haley, like, they started being married in high school.
Really?
Yeah, that's different. They started being married in high school, but, like, you could tell as the progression of the show goes on, everything that they encountered, it just made them level up for what they were.
Okay.
So that's where they grew together.
That's a growing together type of thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be a good thing or a bad thing, because you can then outgrow somebody, too. So... you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you might be growing, but the other person might have stayed stagnant and you kind of kept going from there. Or the person that you guys both became no longer is compatible with each other. It happens.
And
you
know, but they're communication comes in there well. It's not compatible because you didn't learn. There's sometimes that incompatibility is like, it's either that your time is over because, you know, first season for a while, blah, 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 in a dial. I don't know the phrase. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know that, you know, like, people are here for a season. Okay. I don't know the phrase.
Your season's up. Okay.
Yeah, like, it may be that they're just there for the season.
Gotcha.
And that's something so hard to swallow, because once you've opened yourself up, it's hard.
Yeah, but I feel also people come in and out of your life for a reason, to teach you something.
Yeah, everything's a lesson. So I would say, like, yeah, maybe you're not compatible anymore and, like, you grew apart. But, like, as long as you know that you did all you could to try and put yourselves, communicate and all that stuff. But that's if you really want it.
Kind of thing.
So, I think I'm tired of talking today.
Yeah.
But, like, our question of the day is...
Is, do you believe that having expectations is a good thing in a relationship? Or do you feel that it adds pressure to you or the other person? Or explain to us, like, expectations that you have in a scenario where you felt like it was either a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Yes. We like to talk.
Yes.
And we like to talk, and we're going to be talking again on Friday. We're going to have a live.
Yes.
We're going to be chit-chatting with the people that follow us, and we may or may not have a guest that's kind of, like, up in the air, but we know a guest that wants to be a guest.
Gotcha.
So take your answers, and we're gonna put a thread on Twitter and on Instagram, and both me and Danielle will answer them. And just follow us and connect at T with double D.
Yeah.
See you guys next time.
Yes.